wake up. So I'm wondering, who out there could use a little calm in their life? No? Oh, hands. How about who's tired of waking up at 4 a.m. and thinking about things, what they have to do, what they haven't done, what they should be doing? Who finds themselves with, like, free time and you realize you're so content and quiet, and then you enter the valley of what ifs and if onlys, and you start to worry that you're not even worrying about anything, so something must be wrong. That actually happened to me a couple weeks ago. Folks, we are human. We will worry, we will get fearful, and we'll even get a little anxious. But the good news is we do not have to be consumed by that. We do not have to let that control our lives. As Max Lucado says in the book that many of us studied, life will occasionally throw you a lemon, but you don't have to suck on it. Actually, I could sit down now and be very happy, but you might not. Many people think that Christians should be exempt from worry. And I can see where they're coming from. You know, we're told it's this, your faith gives you this peace and everything's taken care of. And so why are you worrying? Yeah, it's silly. But I have to join the Apostle Paul in saying that the worries may rise. As Christians, we have the ability and the power and the resources to overcome that worry. With the love of God, the teachings of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn worry into joy. And I believe all the answers today are in the text. So we begin where all good things should begin. What? The other way. Okay, hold it that way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is a call not to a feeling. It's a call to a decision that we will deliberately, purposely rejoice in the goodness of God. There is so much to celebrate. There is so much good that happens, has happened, will happen, is happening. And we need to celebrate God first, to consider all that God has done for us, and to do that always. God, there is nothing that God doesn't want for you, if it will be for your growth and for your good and for the increase of your faith and a better life. Your anxiety decreases as your understanding of your Father increases. I saw that happen. We did a 5-week study. I think the Sunday school class is still studying, right? And the rest of us are done. And saw changes happen as people studied this book together. It was the most amazing thing. You see, we're competent people. And so I think what we tend to do if a situation rises, we tend to start with our own resources. Well, what can I do to take care of this? How can I handle this? Whereas, in fact, if anything fails, then that's when, like a little child cries out to the parent, we turn to our Heavenly Father and say, okay, now I need your help. But we try to do it on our own. Sometimes we fail, and we turn to where we should have started, with God. This is what I think. Think what could happen. We start with Jesus. If we offer him all those desires and problems and worry first, as soon as they come up, Max Lucado says, when the doorbell of worry rings, you just call on Jesus to get it. Jesus, could you answer that one today? And I thought, that's so clever, but you know, if you don't believe me, talk to Mary Phillips Duke, because she's been doing this and having a great time, handing off the door of worry to her Lord. If Jesus can take the wheel, I figure he can answer the door and help us, guide us. through. Rejoice in who God is and all that God can do, and do that all the time. Then, this, no, that's not right. Is that right? Yeah, I guess so. My wording's different. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, at first thought that just sounds so simple. Haven't you shared a problem with a friend? They go, well, you know, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just pray about it. And it sounds so easy and so simple. And it isn't always. For Paul, who wrote this, it really wasn't that easy for him either. Look at what happened to him. He was shipwrecked. He was in several storms. He was imprisoned more than once. He suffered his own sort of persecution. And he had 13 churches asking him all kinds of crazy questions that he had to come up with answers for. He had cause to practice exactly what he preached. This kind of devoted behavior doesn't just happen. You just don't walk out of here today saying, I'm solid now. I'll just pray about everything. I'll be good. It's almost like it takes practice. It's like any other discipline that you do, that you want to perfect. It takes practice. The more we go to God first with prayer, with thanksgiving, and then attack the problem second, you've already drawn on a power source that's going to help you 10 times more than if you just tackled it by yourself. We focus on the good. And the more we do this, it becomes not really a habit, but it just becomes part of who you are. It's just a natural thought process. And it just lessens the worry that comes from handling myself and increases the power of God in my life. Then what happens? I just have not played with this enough to do it right. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards your hearts and your minds. How awesome is that? To have your heart and your mind guarded by God, as Cindy said and Carissa prayed. So much garbage could attack your mind in this day and age. It's just constant. It could really get to us. But to know that we have a peace from God that defies all logic and understanding. You know, I should be worried? I'm not. I should be concerned? I'm not. Why? Because there's this peace that God gives us. No way I can explain it, but it's real. And it guards our hearts and our minds. You may already know this. Worry from the Greek actually means to divide the mind. You know, the mind is a very powerful thing. It can take us places we shouldn't be going and we don't need to go and we don't need to trouble ourselves with. The mind is pretty powerful. And worry just divides it into chunks and pieces, and we cannot think straight. To know that my mind and heart are guarded and protected by Christ Jesus. Well, that just gives me reason to dismiss or at least know how to deal with worries and troubles when they come up. This is kind of an amazing gift that God gives us, the peace that can reunite the mind and give us wholeness. Finally, Paul says, okay, I was away this week, so I trusted Ryan for these. I knew what it would say. The design is the prize, but that's his job. But look at this. Paul says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think about those kinds of things. Fill your mind with that. And we've got such an advantage in this game of life. We don't meditate on the mess. We don't let the anxious thoughts creep in and take over. We adjust our attitude, and suddenly, problems are manageable. We have them in perspective. We're not fretting. We're sleeping again, and it's awesome. And then we again thank God for what he does. And if you need some help with that, you know, we realize you can always get out the book of Psalms. I mean, it does have just about every emotion in there. We were talking in class and in the book about, you know, singing your favorite hymns. Hymns are just powerful, powerful inspiration and education for us. And hey, I have to say, because that's who I am, join a class. I mean, we just had so much fun and such great things happen, and we ate a lot of chocolate. Lucado gives, the book is Anxious for Nothing, in case you haven't seen it. But he gives a great illustration about, it was the theologian Henry Nouwen learned a lot about the trapeze artists, trapeze family. And what he learned was that there is a flyer and there is a catcher. It's not like the person who flies off the one has to find the catcher and grab him. It's the catcher's job to be there and know how and when to grab the flyer. And the flyer simply trusts the catcher, leaps out the way they're supposed to, and the catcher will grab them. If they don't, if the flyer tries to take over, they could actually break their wrists because of the speed with which the flyer is moving. So a flyer must fly, a catcher must catch, and they trust each other immensely. And he goes on to say, in the great trapeze act of salvation, God is the catcher, and we are the flyers. We trust, period. We rely solely on God's ability to catch us, and as we do, wonderful things happen. Your Father has never dropped anyone, and he will not drop you. Thanks be to God. God gives us one responsibility as our Father image. Hold my hand. Just hold on to my hand, and you'll be okay. The ultimate good result? Worry turns to joy. How can you dwell on the goodness of God most of the time and not feel a sense of contentment or hope or protection or joy? People consumed with joy and hope are people who automatically do the kind of things God wants them to be doing. We come and we worship and we rejoice. We give of our time, our talent, our witness, our service, and yes, our gifts, because we are grateful to a generous, graceful God. We find ways to live out our discipleship and share our joy. It cannot be contained. It must be shared. Remember, my lemon went to the back. There it is. You're going to get these from time to time, but we have the secret to a happy, healthy life of faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.